Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Super Gaming Best Friends, the number one podcast on HorribleNight.com. Today is Wednesday, March 28th, 2012. I'm your host, Josh Lee, and I have some Super Gaming Best Friends with me today. We're missing one, Ethan Moses, who unfortunately was out sick. This happened last episode. It's bad, folks. We're starting up a fundraiser for him, I think, pretty soon. Justin Lacey is here, though.
I am. I'm not sneezing, unlike Mr. Ethan. That was That was the only symptoms he told me about.
Yeah, I was like, really? He's sneezing?
It's a it's some sort of heat fever, I think. Like, that's what they call it. No,
I don't think you make all.
I think we need.
Doc, I think he's just doing a lot of cocaine.
We need Doc Pizzle to go take a look at him. Also, joining me back again, Cole Monroe. How's it going, Cole?
It's going good. I've been missing the Super Gaming Best Friends the past couple of times, so it's good to be back.
Yeah, yeah, on the number one show. It is nice. And
well, we'll see about being number one later this week, buddy. We'll see. Oh, that's a teaser for all you listeners.
Yeah, yeah. We got a checkpoint coming up soon. And for the first time, Mr. Andrew Cooper, the Coop Man, who does all the music for all these shows. He's also a writer on the site.
Yep.
Coop, how's it going?
Not too bad. How you doing?
It's good. It's good. Earlier this week, you proclaimed yourself the king of the pooping tweet. yeah,
that I did.
Yet I didn't see any tweets out of you earlier when I know that we might have synchronized our schedules.
Jeez.
There were no
we
tweets.
Get out of the conversation going.
I was like,
you know, I was trying to be quick. I was already late for the show, so you know, I didn't want to.
Well, <let's,
laughs> I didn't want to delay it anymore.
Okay, I appreciate that. Although you could decide, you know, it's like, am I gonna?
Well, you open up Twitter and you're in there like 10 minutes longer than you really need to be. So, yeah, I didn't want to do that to you guys. Even though I got back and I was waiting on you, so.
I think you guys are much closer friends than I realized.
Poopcast. One of these days, Poopcast will happen. And I'm basically vetting cast members for right now. So that's
Thank
what's
you.
Happening.
So do
Thank you for abusing
podcast while you're pooping.
You know, I don't want to give away like the inner workings of exactly how that's going to go down. I want people to look forward to, you know, the surprise a little bit. So, just like the act of pooping itself. So there's got to be some mystery involved. So you don't know what's going to come out of this show until it is birthed. Anyways, after that terrible introduction of everyone. We do have a great show for you, I promise. It's going to be great. As long as my friends here hold up their end of the bargain.
I'm not holding anything yours.
Especially my iPad in the bathroom. So
do not touch his iPad.
No, I wouldn't.
Don't touch anything of Josh's.
That's a safe rule. Safe rule.
We have our on-the-spot question.
I was sorry. I was just thinking. Doesn't this make this the number two podcast on the show?
Whatever.
All right, I can move on now.
We'll have our on the spot question. What are you playing? Then we go to our HorribleNight.com site updates, and at the end of the show, we wrap things up with our threesomes of the week, our off topic discussion. So let's kick it off, guys. This week's on-the-spot question comes from one Jesse Langanke. Jesse asks, he or she asks, what director should take on the BioShock movie and what rating should they go for? Cole Monroe?
Well, they should obviously go for an R rating because that game is somewhat violent. You need some undersea deaths and murder happening. So it needs to be an R, perhaps an NC-17 if they're getting really crazy and don't want to be in any theaters. straight to DVD, Bioshock movie, NC-17. As far as directors, I know Del Toro was on, but now is off. I'm going to give this is my shout out to Ethan for him being sick. I'm going to go ahead and say Michael Bay.
Yes.
Wow.
Because he loves Michael Bay.
Does Michael Bay do R? Does he do R anymore?
I was going to say Michael Bay.
Michael Bay rated G for sure.
Yeah. Michael Bay. And
Bad Boy.
Bad Boys. That's
Who's the other Michael Bay like guy? Isn't there another Michael Bay guy? Kind of.
There's only one Michael Bay.
Yeah, no.
He doesn't. Well, maybe Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer. That's what I'm thinking of. Bruckheimer could be him.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that. Hey, did Bruckheimer direct Bad Boys?
No.
Are you sure that Michael was Michael Bay?
Michael,
are you sure about
that? That is the definitive Michael Bay.
We had a debate about this last week. No one was sure, and none of us would look it up for some reason. So I have a suggestion. I think that obviously it's a collective ownership. I think we need somebody who has some experience with some underwater films. Because that's a big aspect of Bioshock. It's like this thing's at the bottom of the ocean, right?
Sure.
Rapture's underwater, and there's a lot of water in the game. And originally I was thinking James Cameron, you know, he just came back up from the bottom of the Mariana Trench. He just spent like 4 hours at the deepest part of the ocean. He's doing a documentary and stuff. I was like, hey, man, that'd be all right. But then I thought, you know, I don't think so, because I think the Bioshock movie kind of has to suck. So I'm going to take it back. I'm bringing it back here. George P. Cosmatos.
Wow.
Now, I have no idea if that guy is even alive, because he'd probably be really old now.
I'm on IMDb right now, so I'll look it up.
He directed Leviathan, which was the...
Dead in 2005.
Shit! This is going to be a problem. Peter Weller film, underwater. It was a creature, but he also did Cobra and Tombstone.
And Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Cobra. Oh, and First Blood Part 2.
Why don't you just get Sly Stallone to film it.
You need somebody with a... Okay, yeah, sure.
I'm kidding. I'm going to go with somebody that does have some... water movie experience and also some special effects related to it. I think Gore Verbinski from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies would be a good fit. But I want an R, but I think they could get away with a PG-13. I don't think, you know, it's just a matter of pulling the camera away when the Big Daddy drill goes through somebody. But I would love to see
splicers are pretty creepy though.
They're creepy, but I don't know.
They kind of need to be slicing at you. I guess I could still be pulled off in PG-13, maybe.
Yeah, they could.
What about a Tim Burton version?
Oh, no, that's not hard. No. That's not enough. That's not enough. He's gone soft.
Yes.
No, Dark Shadows. There won't be a choice of cast at that point, though. You know,
it'll be Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, Bonham Carter.
Yeah. Helena Bonham Carter she's in literally every single one of his films, and I don't want to see her in Bioshock.
As Andrew Ryan.
She'll be the little sister.
She'd actually be okay as the nurse lady, though.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not. No, not a Tim Burton. No. It's good stuff.
You know what? I'm gonna say, actually, that I think it's a Bioshock movie's a bad idea altogether.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of those I would want it to be awesome and it wouldn't be, and then I'd just get mad.
The thing is, okay, how about just a Rapture movie and not a Bioshock movie? I think there's just enough going on in Rapture.
How about we get Ken Levine to direct it?
Okay, that would also work.
How about an animated film?
No.
I want to see
a badass CG Big Daddy.
Yes.
You know what? Would you kindly leave this property alone? That's what I say. Well, anyways.
Worst pun of the night. We've got a tally going. Would you? Number two comment. And
Coop, did you have a director?
Would you kindly?
Not really. I was going to say Michael Bay. I don't think that was really good.
There aren't that many explosions.
I'm going to change. You can have Michael Bay. I'm going to change my answer to Barry Levinson.
Steven Summers.
Because he did
go with Kevin Reynolds. He directed Waterworld.
done. There it is. You did it. You got it. That's the answer.
I nailed it.
PG-13.
Yeah, I like Waterworld
director. Okay, I think that's enough talk about the fire.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, gee. Okay. You're done.
Tom Hanks.
No, stop talking about it. Thank you, Jesse, for the question.
It'll be all the characters.
Sorry about butchering your last name, and I wish I knew if you were male or female. I guess it doesn't matter.
Creepy.
Yeah, after I said it was shit.
You're just
You, the audience, can send your own questions in to us at ask@horriblenight.com, and we will butcher the answers and your last name on air.
Proudly.
It's fun.
Send your questions in. I've done it before.
Please send Josh photos.
And just let us know. M, F, maybe age as well.
Location, perhaps. Yeah.
ASL.
Thank you. It's time, guys. Let's talk about video games. What are you playing? Justin Lacey.
We need some music right there. You care to guess what I'm playing? Because I am still... Let's kick this off with some Mass Effect 2.
Let's get
it out of the way here, people.
Again. We've talked about Mass Effect for, it feels like, months.
It's what?
And I know it's only been 2 weeks, but...
It's what I'm doing. And
hey, Josh, did you ever go back and listen to like the first 5 months of podcasts? Because all we talked about was Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, I forgot. Like, at first I thought I was kind of bringing something fresh because I've been talking about Mass Effect 1 and everybody else has been talking about Mass Effect 3. And I'm like, I've been playing Mass Effect 2 now. But you're right, Cole. The entire history of the site started with a lot of Mass Effect 2 talk.
Well, let me ask you a question here. Because
yeah.
it's the most important aspect of your gaming experience with Mass Effect. And that is who... have you slept with so far?
Okay, that's actually where I'm very disappointed in Mass Effect 2. Going through my Fem Shep run through, I don't have the options that I want. Fem Shep has kind of slim pickings unless she wants some alien male action, which if that's your type of Fem Shep, that's completely fine. But my Fem Shep is... she's not interested. Right now my game plan is to pursue the Kelly Chambers route. So that still is on the table, but there are no other crew members that that I'm interested in. So Fem Shep's it's kind of all business on the ship otherwise. You know, I just flirt with Kelly in between missions, but we'll see. On my previous Mass Effect 2 run through, my crew and Kelly did not survive. So that'll be my trick to see if I can make that happen. So
I lost some people on my playthrough too, but they were all like non love interest characters, and so going into 3.
You know, I kept all the primary characters, but I just lost my crew. That was my suicide run. But I think I'm about a third of the way through, a halfway through. I finished the first batch of there's basically two sections of Gather Your Squad. So I finished the first Gather Your Squad and done the mission that follows that. I'm trying to think of what I've noticed that is different. But the decisions that I made that are different from Mass Effect 1, they're not going to happen until this kind of next act. So I did notice that scanning planets has sped up dramatically from the first few weeks of playing that game. They give you an upgrade that speeds it up, and also they patched in a little bit of a speed upgrade, because when you shoot a probe at the planet, that animation is much faster than it used to be. So I still find it funny how much of a completionist I am, even though I don't really need the stuff. So hopefully I can get all my upgrades out of the way and move on. But I'm playing – this has been – it's been pretty uneventful, but I still have to say just how – the leap from 1 to 2 and unpolished is still kind of striking. So,
There it was pretty noticeable. It seemed like pacing is different too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, from what I've played of 3, it gets even a little bit better in 3, but they worked within their limitations a lot more. In Mass Effect 2, and the presentation gets a lot better, and you know, they getting rid of the Mako stuff and just dropping you into the location that you want to run around and shoot things in is a lot more effective. And I like how everything works in Mass Effect 2 so much better, aside from I want more options with my guns and that type of RPG stuff that they had to lighten up. But I am doing a lot. From playing Mass Effect more and more, I do notice that I do a lot more of combination attacks with my group. So I feel like I'm becoming a better Mass Effect 2 player, and just I'm playing it on hardcore and just destroying my enemies. So that's pretty satisfying, especially because I set them on fire most of the time. So there's that. And
I haven't played hardcore mode. Is it?
Is
it just damage the only thing that, or they actually drop more enemies in too? They just do more damage and you take more.
I think it's the same amount of enemies, but they're using their powers against you more, and they're just more aggressive. Than they won't just sit back behind cover, but they'll try to flank you, and they'll use their own biotic powers a lot more and kind of screw you up. So at least that's what I've noticed.
It's not just a matter of having to unload multiple clips into a guy's head.
No, but I mean I mainly snipe. So I don't really notice how much if I'm putting a lot more bullets into guys, because it's usually one or two shots will do the trick. I was trying to think of anything else that has happened. I don't like how I kind of screwed up my Femship's face in Mass Effect 1. Like, she's kind of got like duck lips, you know, like the like the Facebook photos, like that and. You only notice it from the profile, and I thought I would be able to...
So she looks really cool?
Yeah. And I thought I'd be able to edit it when I imported her to Mass Effect 2, but it wouldn't. It's either all or nothing. You can't import and then modify. So I got to get that fixed before Mass Effect 3. So, because can't have duck lips saving the world, the galaxy. So, assuming that's what happened, since I have done a remarkable job at dodging the ending of Mass Effect 3. So don't be a dick and put it in the comments this week.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think we've done a pretty good job of avoiding some of that stuff. And you know what? I thought about this. I thought I was having a moment the other day where I felt bad that I had, or not just me. I mean, this a lot of people have been talking about how they felt about the ending.
Yeah.
So much that it's like, I kind of feel bad now, because now everybody's expecting, like, you know, it's going to suck. However, I think your expectations, if they're lowered, are going to make you more susceptible to not being furious when you're done with the game.
I just know I'm going to be confused when I get it. I'll be like, I will probably be upset at something, but not understand where the outright anger came from. But I'm also trying not to say anything until I go through it, because we've had guys like you that on the site have finished it and did have strong opinions. So I'm trying to respect that. But, I do have a question for Coop, because we have him on the show and he has not played the Mass Effect series. And I don't know how instrumental I was in pushing you towards Fallout, but that was a series that was a little bit on the fringe of your interests. And, you know, Mass Effect tries to play itself up as more and more of a shooter. And is there any draw to the franchise for you?
Yeah, I mean, I actually have Mass Effect 2 in my cabinet right now. My brother loaned it to me. He really wants me to play it. I don't know if I need to play Mass Effect 1 first or not. A lot of people have told me you could jump straight to 2. It doesn't really matter. That 1 obviously has some flaws. But I'm definitely intrigued by it. The only thing that keeps me from jumping into it is, you know, the time commitment. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time. I'm surprised that I put as many hours into Fallout as I did. And due to that, it might be a while before I try Mass Effect, just because that was too long. I need a little more variety, but if it's more shooter than Fallout was, that might persuade me even more, because, you know, that's definitely more my alley than the going more RPG side.
Yeah, it's even third person, maybe more Gears, so than some of the other shooters, but. Yeah, they're I can't speak for Mass Effect 3, Josh, but I know Mass Effect 1 and 2 are both about 30 hours if you just kind of do a little bit more than the basics. You can get a good hefty chunk out of it, and so 30 hours
same for 3.
About what you're looking at.
And yeah, I would definitely suggest playing 1.
Okay.
I wouldn't, knowing Coop. I mean it was the same hurdle I had when we were talking about it with Ethan, but that first 5 to 8 hours of Mass Effect 1, it's a bit of a hurdle for non-RPG fans, I would say.
I kind of had the same thing with Fallout too. Like I hated it when I started it, and it probably took I probably played it 2 or 3 nights before I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. But I think it was just getting in the mindset of what type of game I'm playing.
Sure.
From what I was used to. I'll probably give it a try at some point. I think I would definitely just try and blow through it. I tried to be a completionist on Fallout, which was a bad idea. I probably played it for 80 or 90 hours. But which is very unlike me. I can't even believe that I did that. But I kind of burned myself out, so I have the DLC, and I doubt I'll ever finish it, but, you know, we'll see.
Cool, so, yeah, Mass Effect. Cole, you're playing 2 right now, right?
Yeah, I started 3, got a couple hours in, and then I was like, I want to go back and finish the DLC that I didn't play. So I started I can't even think of what it's called now. The one with Liara.
Oh, Shadow Broker.
Shadow Broker. Mm-hmm. So I started playing that and got like, I don't know, 40 minutes into it, and then my Xbox froze, so I was pretty pissed because I hadn't saved.
I think your Xbox hates you.
Like, it does. It does.
Did, like, Skyrim? Maybe it's just like rebelling against major franchises.
Maybe. But I mean, I have beaten Mass Effect 2, so it's not like it's, you know, major important that I play Shadow Broker.
I don't know.
It was because I watched Supernatural like for 10 hours before I tried to start playing Mass Effect 2, and that's why I was froze. But I was kind of turned off by it and haven't picked it up, and that was this like last Friday, last Saturday, something like that.
I am looking forward to playing through the Overlord DLC and the Shadow Broker DLC, because I did not do that. So that'll be the other big difference on my playthrough. But
I plan on getting Overlord as well. I'm going through that. And because I hear there's callbacks in Mass Effect 3 for those two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've played, it's like some of the DLC. If you haven't played the DLC, I think that there are certain things they talk about those things that happened a little differently. Mm-hmm. So if you've played them, there's a familiarity there, and they'll call back to them in a way where you just automatically get what they're talking about. And if you haven't, then they'll mention things in a kind of a different way, and I don't think they go quite as in depth with it.
And Liara is pretty damn important to my character, so I've got to I want to see all that stuff all the way through. I did just before I did the last mission, I did the crash of the Normandy mission. Still one of my favorite moments in Mass Effect 2, just wandering around that around that wreckage. And I had forgotten that little touch was in there. So that's been my favorite moment so far.
Yeah. Cole, have you been playing anything else? What's going on?
Yeah, I've been playing some older games, Punch-Out and Metroid, to be specific, on the 3DS. Ooh. Yeah, they were released, I think, maybe around the beginning of March, and I still had some dollars on the eShop, so I decided to get those two games. They're basically picture-perfect emulations of the NES game. Starting with Punch-Out.
How are you finding the controls?
Well, for me, I think I need to invest in the Circle Pad Pro because my hands are too big and I can't play for long stretches of time or my hands start to cramp up.
Poor Brumac.
Yeah. F off. And Punch-Out, especially is you're basically mashing buttons constantly. So, I don't know, my hands start to get cramped. But other than that, it's really good, really good control. It seems like it's just, exactly like the NES. Kind of hitting the star uppercut is a little difficult because it's still the same button, but the star button, but it's not too bad. Yeah. I would like to be able to map it to like a Y or X button. I don't know if you could do that or not.
I'm surprised they didn't incorporate mapping more with those, especially for the NES games, since you've got more buttons to work with now.
Yeah, but then it's weird. On Metroid, Y button is like change your like missiles to missiles. So they obviously put that in there or just mapped it as the regular, another button, just mirrored that. So I don't know why they didn't do that in Punch-Out.
I'm looking at my 3DS right now, Cole, and that it's start, right? Or for the star punch. That sucks.
Where is it?
It's at the bottom of the screen, like on the bottom right side of the touch screen, but it's not even really a button.
Yeah, it's a touch button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it clicks. It is a button. It clicks, but and it's too far away. Your thumb's really got to move.
Yeah. Other than that, Punch-Out is Punch-Out, and except the screen is really tiny, and it's hard to see some of the tells that the boxers have, especially like Great Tiger, his little flashing gem in his turban. It's really hard to see, but he also moves his feet in a certain way right before he punches, so you kind of just have to switch what you're looking at. And I haven't got to Mr. Dream yet because it's not the Mike Tyson version. So I haven't been able to see if his eye flutter is that noticeable or if it's really hard to tell, because that would make that game 10 times harder than it already is. I recommend, if you're a fan of Punch-Out at all, I recommend getting it. It's a really good version on the 3DS and you can, take it anywhere you want to go. And then talk about Metroid for a little bit as well. I never really played Metroid. I had rented it or borrowed it from a friend. I remember using the Justin Bailey code, so I was a badass.
Hot!
But the controls are, it's too tiny for my hands for long periods of time. But, man, that game is a lot harder than I expected.
Yeah, like Metroid was not easy.
You can find yourself in the last area pretty early on, and I ventured down there and got destroyed real quick. And those stupid flying birds, or whatever they are, that come out of the little vases, they get me every time. Hate those things.
space vase.
That's what we call. I really like it. I haven't played it in a little bit, but
it's an all right game.
Yeah, I mean it holds up really well.
The vase birds they serve a purpose. Like they just spawn endlessly, so you use them for health and missiles.
No, that's what I do. But
I can't believe you would complain about those things. They're,
when you try to go through the level and you got tons of other shit on the screen, and it slows down, like old school.
How does it handle save points?
Like for every NES game, it's a lot like the Wii, where you press start, but you can create a save point. So anytime you can only have one per game, so you can save wherever you want, basically. And then obviously you can use the passcodes if you so desire as well.
Cool,
man. Metroid. $4 for those games?
Yeah, $4.
Yeah.
The only thing I dislike about it is I still feel like I should have a Nintendo account by now. I bought the virtual console version of that game, and it should work on the other systems.
It should. Definitely should.
And even if they're working to get that, I mean, they've talked about some sort of Nintendo network for the Wii U. I'm not confident that my 3DS purchases will carry over to that. So it's really, like, because I've already bought a lot of virtual console games on my Wii, and I just can't imagine. I want them more on my 3DS. I want them more mobile than I do big screen. So.
Yeah, that's how I was feeling, because I was like, man, I kind of really want to play Metroid and Super Metroid, but I wanted to wait after I got my 3DS until they came out. And now you're starting to see the ambassador games be released. Metroid was an ambassador game, I'm pretty sure. And then hopefully the Super Nintendo games come out soon, because they have a really good list for the ambassador games. So, yeah, I want to play them on the go. I don't want to play them on my Wii.
Did any surprises to Metroid for you, as far as just little details you didn't know about, or besides the space faces?
No, I mean, like, pretty much all the places I've been so far, I remembered from when I had borrowed it from my friend or rented it. So there hasn't been any super surprises, but I haven't fought any of the bosses yet either. So I don't really know what to expect, because I never faced off any of the bosses. So
I recommend, after you play that, tracking down or borrowing a copy of Zero Mission from me, because it's a lot of fun to go back to that original mission. So
I would love to be able to play it on my 3DS, but I can't.
Yeah.
Those GBA games have to be coming, though.
Yeah, they are. That I think, I'm pretty sure that was on the ambassador list, actually.
Cool.
So
I wish I still had my SP for games like that.
I just saw some in a store, actually an antique mall, for $30. North in the Edinburgh antique mall. So if you want an SP,
yeah, they are around in the exchange type of stores.
I don't know. I have to.
But keep to this pay in for mind. It. I learned this on my trip to PAX. As excellent as the SP is, and I was just excited to have it. That was kind of my cool thing that I brought. I get on the plane and I'm gonna settle in for a long session of. I think I was actually playing Metroid Zero Mission. So. And then I pop the game in, and I'm ready to enjoy some Metroid tunes while I'm playing. And I'm looking around on the SP. Where the fuck do I plug in my headphones? You have to have an adapter.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was like one of the things they cut for the small size, was the headphone jack. And you end up – it's like the power, or like the system link, if you wanted to hook up to another Game Boy, like you use an adapter that goes in that slot that gives you an audio jack. And yeah, I have no idea where that adapter is, so no headphones for me.
And it's Metroid Fusion, that's the GBA game, not Zero Mission.
Zero Mission? I thought
they're both GBA games.
No, I know, I'm saying in the Ambassador, it's Fusion, not Zero Mission.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I thought Fusion was pretty cool too, but yeah, Zero Mission was great. It was just, it felt like Super Metroid 2
to me.
But it's a remake of the original, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, cool. It is.
But I also believe Metroid 2 is out there.
It is. It's on the eShop. Yeah.
Those old Game Boy games too.
Yeah.
It was horizontally limited, though.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, the Game Boy was. You know, it was. I don't know what the aspect ratio was, but man, there was.
Skinny.
There's a
Tetris like
for a side scroll. It should have been a vertical scroller platform. I should have held the thing sideways or something. I don't know. I really want to play. Was it Return of Samus?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. But I'm struggling with the idea of that. It's not the quality of the graphics, or that there's not a bunch of colors. I don't really care about that. It's that really, really cramped screen.
Bias against skinny things?
Yeah, pretty much.
You could get the Super Game Boy, play it on your TV.
I have one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I have one too.
That's right.
It's fantastic.
I have the GameCube version of it that plays the GBA games.
What was the GameCube one called? The Super Game Boy was the Super Nintendo one, right?
Super Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
That's not
yeah.
as
By the way, do you guys have any GameCube memory cards I can borrow?
I have. I think I have an extra one.
All right, cool. Because I got the Zelda GameCube game for my birthday, and I've never played it, and I don't have a memory card. So
Don't really try to sell those back to GameStop. They just stopped.
I saw that, yeah.
That's awful.
Because I went in there today and looked for a GameCube memory card, and it was $20, and I was like, fuck that.
$20 fucking.
$20. It's third party, $20.
You should have yelled that in the middle of the store.
There's nobody in there except for me and the creepy clerk, so I decided not.
I am highly offended. All right, Coop, you've been playing, dude?
A lot, actually. I finished Rage, finally.
Rage? How was that?
Rage. I liked it a lot. I'll be one to defend Rage to anyone who has issues with it, except when it comes to the ending. I'm going to have to jump on the same train as everybody else and say that was a little disappointing. But I don't know, have any of you guys finished it yet? Or I know Justin hasn't.
No.
But I mean, it was good. It was long. It had a lot to do.
How much time was it?
Well, it depends on if you do the side missions or not. I did all the side missions in the first disc, mm-hmm. and then when I got to the second disc, I didn't do any of them because I had already gotten the achievement for doing side missions, so there was no point. Chivos.
Are you a big id fan?
A big id fan? I am. One of my favorite games of all time is Quake 2. So yeah, I'm a pretty big fan id boy or a fan id boy. pretty big id fan boy. Which, you know, may make me like Rage more, but I just love shooters and they whatever issues you have with the game, it is the smoothest shooter that exists on the Xbox, I think. I mean, I can't think of anything that controls and handles better than that game. So because of that, you know, I really loved it.
Here's my question to you and other people that have been disappointed by the ending, because I have no expectations of the ending because it's an id game. And I guess I'm not expecting much out of it. Like, maybe, you know, as long as there's some big gun battle kind of leading up to it, and maybe not even directly at the end, like, why do you think you were let down?
I don't know how much I want to say without ruining it, really.
Is there a boss fight?
No. And I think that's okay. Why I was...
There we go.
There you go.
Josh gets right to the point.
Well, I don't know how far you've... Have you made it to Dead City yet, Justin?
I'm just right before that, sounds like.
Like, on your way up to Dead City, I think you play kind of, you know, one... There's one kind of mini-boss battle there somewhere around that area, but then there's a pretty decent boss in that area. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, they're... That guy was pretty badass, so they must be leading up to something really cool at the end. And, you know, right before you go to your last mission, they give you this gigantic gun with BFG rounds, so I'm like, awesome. But you could probably beat it with your pistol.
Huh.
It's just, there was like, I mean, I feel like all of, even the level itself, you know, despite the fact that there was no end boss, really, the level itself was probably one of the easiest missions, I think, of the entire game. So it kind of almost felt like they ran out of time and were just like, hey, let's end this and
gotta be done.
So yeah, you blow through this end and there's a 5-second cinematic and then there's credits and it was, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the story ended, there was it. So if you were into the story, which, you know, was okay, I guess, they ended it. It was just not. I wanted like this massive gun battle, you know, that you get with a lot of id games, and it just wasn't there for me.
So what you're saying is the end of this game needed John Romero's face to shoot at.
It did. That's exactly what it was missing.
Okay, so we figured that out. We should start demanding them to change, add that in as DLC.
We should donate to charity in the name of that.
Yeah, and they definitely could do something like that. I mean, that wouldn't be the first game that has had the ending fixed with DLC.
And then John Romero can get paid for having his likeness in the game, and he'll finally get a paycheck.
Yeah, definitely.
He's been talking a lot more lately. I think he must have had something at GDC, but he's
where? I haven't heard these things.
Really. I just see his name pop up in my news feeds again recently, and that he was talking about, you know, whatever mobile stuff he was doing. I don't remember what he's doing these days, but he's out there. He does exist. He's talking to people. He has a Twitter account.
I have played almost none of Rage, unfortunately, and has nothing to do with any. I mean, I want to play it, and I've got it for Steam and everything, but just it's the time thing, you know. It's a good thing I'm bringing this up now, and not when we had John on from ID a couple weeks ago, or whatever.
Well, we've also done we did a Curse Checkpoint.
Yeah.
Talking about our experiences with Rage, so kind of laid it down there. I still think I agree with Coop. Like, nothing feels like Rage. That's why it stands out in my memory. Like, this is how guns should feel in video games. That's all that I can think of.
And after making it to the end, I mean, I was pretty defensive of it in our checkpoint on it. My opinion changed slightly towards the end. It's long enough that I was getting tired of, you know, the wasteland going from mission to mission, which I think was one of your gripes, Justin, where you just wanted the corridor shooter where it went from mission to mission to mission.
Yeah.
And I definitely, you know, towards the end was getting to that same point where it's
there was nothing wrong with the dune buggy stuff, like the car control. I mean, I kind of doubted ID's ability to make good vehicle combat, but that was fun. But it was just – it just all struck me as unnecessary. And
yeah, you just got kind of – maybe they could have easily fixed it with you could have done that if you wanted to, but being able to, like, fast travel to your next mission.
Give me ID mode where I just
– yeah.
I don't care. Throw a loading screen at me. I don't give a shit. Just give me to the next place where I can shoot a dude in the leg and watch him blimp at me and I can kill him with his last gasp.
Yeah, because really the only purpose of the car battles is to get, you know, money and whatever the racing tickets to upgrade your vehicles, which I didn't really have any issues with not having enough money to buy ammo. So, I mean, I could have really done without that, but it was still awesome. I liked it.
What if Ivan Stewart put his touch on the driving segments of this game? Would that have improved them?
I don't know. The driving segments weren't bad. It was just kind of disconnected. I mean, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Because really the cars felt fine. I mean, I didn't really feel like when I was driving around that I couldn't maneuver. Actually, you can maneuver the vehicles really well. It's super easy to just spin around and shoot guys behind you. So that, you know, the actual control and the combat was fine. It just was kind of a different, kind of a game within a game, I guess. It was didn't really add much to what you were doing in the actual missions, but it was there if you wanted to just roam around and try and, you know, get the jump achievements or whatever.
Did you just make an Iron Man reference?
I was gonna say Ivan Stewart's fall from prominence in video games is probably the greatest tragedy of the 20th century.
Agreed. Best use of the Super FX chip. Actually, I don't know if they use that.
Best use of the steering wheel.
Super Nintendo. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Best use of foot pedals at Walmart.
You know, you might convince me, Coop. Maybe I'm gonna start playing Rage. I'm kind of due for a new single player shooter in my life, and that one's queued up in Steam. Maybe I'll put that to the front.
It's pretty good.
Scratches an itch with a sawed-off shotgun.
Oh, I like it.
The sawed-off is nice. It's slow to start. I'll warn you of that. If you haven't played it at all, it takes a little bit to get going. But it definitely, I feel like it starts picking up and getting better right about where Justin is. So,
did you, Coop, did you use the, they kind of had the iconic weapon, I forget the name of the, is it the sling sticks? What are they?
Oh, the wing sticks?
The wing sticks, yeah. Like, I just started using them towards the end of my last play session, and the way they kind of embed in your enemies and take them down became pretty satisfying, too.
So. Oh, yeah, I used them a lot. I made it a good ways into the game before I really realized how cool they were. Later on in the game, you get into some areas where there are just so many enemies running at you that, you know, you're blowing through rounds in your gun, reloading, and just throwing a wing stick to chop somebody's head off or have it stick in their forehead it's definitely satisfying.
I think our military should invest in death aerobie technology.
And you only get them if you do jump rope for heart.
That won't play in India with our new downloads there.
Oh. Yeah, well, I have been playing some games too, guys.
Video Josh, games? What have you been playing?
Man, thanks for asking. I was wondering if you were interested.
I'm not.
Custer's Last Stand.
Yeah. Oh man. No. I've graduated to like the dating Sims, Coop. Like I don't nice. Play porn games anymore. I like it classy. Like Mass Effect 3.
Oh.
So, I think I talked about this maybe last show. I got my joystick out. Been playing with that.
Okay.
So, I had been playing the Free Space 2 open version, the open source version that's got all the goodies, the additions to make it look real nice. And
that's what they should name it instead of a special edition. The one with all the goodies and stuff makes it look nice. Edition. Open.
They can have that for free. So it's basically a kick. This happens to me. I do it with I get my steering wheel out, play a bunch of racing games for a couple months, and I put that away for another year. And so I'm doing that with my joystick right now. And I decided to try Rise of Flight over this past weekend. And if you guys haven't seen it, it is a World War I flight sim.
That sounds so exciting.
Okay.
Shit. Is the Red Baron delivering pizzas in this game?
Dude, the 2D Red Baron game was awesome. This does not sound awesome.
Wait, why would... What the... If you liked Red Baron, why would you not like this? Okay, first of all...
You lost me at Flight Sim.
Free to play.
You lost me at free to play.
All right. So
I like paying for my games.
Yeah, I'm so rich. I pay money for my games.
You can buy new. It's got two planes, or you can buy new ones for, you know, like a buck a piece or whatever. The two starting planes are decent enough. One of the planes I think is the one that. What's his name?
Eddie Rickenbacker?
Rickenbacker.
Oh, yes.
Shot a bunch of dudes down in, so apparently it's not that bad. You know, they got the Sopwith, Camel, Fokker, all that kind of stuff. Anyways, it's the plane.
I have no idea what you just said.
The plane. Did you ever play Sopwith? It's an old-ass PC game.
No.
One color graphics, little side-scrolling plane. Well, anyways. So these are biplanes, right? And these planes are just flying pieces of shit. They're awful. Everything breaks. Like the smallest thing. You're like, oh, you turned too fast, wing rips off. Oh, you dove too fast, wing rips off. Oh, you shot your own tail off, your plane crashes.
You're really selling us on this game now.
And well, that's part of the fun is like everybody's planes are so janky. And there's no electronics. There's like two levers and a couple dials and the stick. It's like whatever, hit the throttle, go. Don't pull up the landing gear. There's no runway. You're just taking off in the backyard.
I can see why Josh, I suck at all video games, Lee likes this game. It evens the playing field.
Yeah, exactly. So I just like spray bullets at the other guys, and I kind of clipped one. I got a lucky shot. He fell, and the engagement ranges are pretty short, so you can unlike some. And I've played a decent amount of flight sims and some of the more realistic ones and stuff. And I've like IL-2 Sturmovik, the World War II one. I played like hour long missions where I flew for 50 minutes, and then I got 10 minutes worth of trying to shoot at guys and maybe hit something, maybe you die and you don't know how, why. This game, that doesn't really happen. I should say too, I'm playing this all online. It has some sort of campaign stuff, but I didn't touch that. I went straight into the 64 man team battles. And you got missions. You can get in a bomber and you can go bomb a train or a base or a boat or whatever. You can do recon and snap photos and stuff like that. But the other team's there the whole time trying to prevent you from doing these things and trying to complete objectives of their own. But I haven't shot down a lot of people yet, and I've crashed the majority of the time. I don't think I one time. I was in a plane that returned to base and landed successfully. I was riding as the gunner in the back of someone else's plane when that happened. You can pull out your Colt 1911 and fire your pistol from your plane. That's how close of range these planes are. But anyways, yeah, it's surprisingly fun. I like that there's just not a million different buttons to memorize. Like most other games, you can just kind of get your stick, just throw the throttle forward, and you're in the air,
until your wings fall off.
Right. But that's part of the fun, is just like pushing this like old junk to the limits and just seeing like how oh no, God, what's gonna break this time? You're just waiting to crash.
I still don't understand how they timed the machine guns to fire through the propellers.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's fascinating.
He doesn't explain that. Yeah, and
so are you getting track IR or what?
Actually,
oh I was, God!
Yes, I'm glad you asked, because I'm not going to buy a track IR. However, there are free alternatives, and one of them requires no LEDs clipped to your a hat. You just need a webcam. That's
and
it.
And a facial tattoo.
And yep, yes. And so you get the webcam. There's the one I was using was called free track, no IR. And
clever. So
and it's exactly that. And the webcam reads your face, and you move your head around, and it translates. And it's actually pretty easy to use and set up, and it works great in several different games I tried. But yeah, I worked in Rise of Flight, and man, it makes a huge difference being able to look around your plane like that. And then you can use the little, on your joystick, the POV hat switch, but that is not the same. It's not as quick. It's not as smooth. And when you're just banking into turns, you just want to look up and to the side a little bit. It's real easy to do. So, and if everybody's got a webcam, so, pretty much. So I definitely recommend trying that. But I will say one thing. I was riding. I'm flying a whatever that starter plane is on the, on the good guys side, whatever, Sopwith or whatever it was. I'm flying this thing. Yeah, that's it. I'm flying this thing. In this multiplayer game, I've already crashed like three times or been shot down. Whatever, same thing. And I'm flying over this city. I've got actually, I'm in the gunner's seat, and someone else is playing again. I decided to jump into that. It's so I wouldn't. I would maybe survive a little bit longer. And my girlfriend's watching me over my shoulder at the time, and I'm really excited. I'm going, oh hey, check this out. I can shoot stuff. I accidentally shot a hole in the wing. It didn't seem to affect the avionics too much. Like the guy was a little upset. I was like, oh my gosh, I accidentally clicked. I didn't even know I had control of the gun yet. and he bought it, and so we were flying. And I'm like, oh, check it out. So he's gonna do this bombing run right here, and so if anybody comes up, I can shoot him. Like I'm spinning around in the seat, looking for guys to shoot at, and here comes this plane from up high, you know, diving down at us like he should. I'm like, all right, here we go. I'm going to shoot this guy. And I'm like in the middle of like swinging my gun up towards this dude. Cause I'm looking without holding onto the gun cause it's a little bit easier to see that way. And, so then I grab the gun, I swing it up towards him about that time, just like one bullet, I'm pretty sure is what hit us. Then boop. And it hits something up at the front of the plane where I couldn't see. I hear it. There's some smoke. we're kind of like listing almost like to the side, you know, I'm like, oh God, I can't aim at this guy. The guy just pulls away. So he obviously knew whatever he did was sending us down. I'm like, oh shit, here we go. And, the guy in the front, he stops typing to me cause he's obviously trying to get in the air. And we start this big, we're pretty high up in the air. We start this just big spiral. It starts out like really wide, and then as more parts of this plane start ripping off, it gets tighter and tighter, and by it's like, oh shit, we lost, you know, the top part of the right wing, and then we lost the top part of the left wing, and then both, and at one point all the wings are ripped off, and we're just, it's just the fuselage, us, and I'm sitting there just holding the machine gun. I'm like, well, I guess we're gonna die now. And you just see the ground coming. And then, you know, we hit, boom, you know. I'm like,
God. That was dramatic.
The camera just pulled back, and you just see the wreckage. And I'm sitting there, and we're laughing at, you know, because she's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there talking about, I'm like, oh, my God. Probably about, I don't know, 20, 30 seconds later, I'm still on the screen looking at the wreckage, and I see the wings of the plane tumbling down out of the sky, like end over end. Like, they're so light because they're made of like friggin' balsa wood or something, and you see them fall down and land gently on top of some buildings.
Well, it took you the entire description, but I'm on board now. I think I get it.
I was hoping that would do it. You can get joystick for like $20.
What's the community like for these types of games? Because I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the barrier of entry is at a certain level where it discourages kind of jackasses. I mean, it's kind of like you're not really going to have the dude that's in the back of your plane just shooting you down. You know?
Well, yeah, because there's a vote kick. So
okay.
you do that and suddenly get in trouble. But I don't really get involved in the communities in any of these games.
No, but it sounds like they're pretty easy to jump in and out of, and they're friendly, and they're,
sure,
you know, people are playing the game. They're not just fucking around.
As long as you're not an asshole, they won't be an asshole. Cause you're right. They're not really goofing off too much. They'll be having fun, and it does some of the games. I don't know about this one necessarily, but some of the games do seem like an old boys club a little bit where, you know, you jump into a game and they're like, you know, like, you don't speak the lingo. Oh, great. You're going to be a burden to the team or something like that. But that's not always the case. And there are, you know, all kinds of people that play these games. And it is, I think, a little bit older crowd. And it's to me, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't need dudes telling me I got pwned when I got shot out of the sky. Like, it's like, you know, people say like, oh, nice shot. I'm like, whoa, well, that's weird.
What?
Pwned.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's not maybe it's not a bad thing.
But the flight games scare me. It just sounds like you get into them and the accessories just never stop. And I just had this when you were describing, you know, you in the back of the plane in your little turret, you know, rotating around trying to shoot the guys. I was like, really, the next step is, you know, I've made fun of you before for having your three monitors set up. Really, you need a circle of monitors around you.
Yeah.
And you're turning in your chair. That's the next step.
Or the Wii U. I can just look through that thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Flight Sims on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Come to the Wii U shop.
You could, even if you don't have a joystick, you should come play with me in Rise of Flight. Just bring your mouse and you can just ride Gunner and one of the bombers with me.
I was going to say, I would be happy to ride Gunner and shoot us down as often as you'd like. Like, let's see what happens if we shoot this wing. How long does it take us to fall?
The advice when I first got into this guy's plane, his advice to me was just don't shoot the tail. It's like, yeah, yes, I like this. So anyways,
but what if you wanted to do your Sean Connery Last Crusade impression.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh,
they got us.
That's what I started to say when I accidentally shot the hole in the wing that one time. And oh, I started to be like, oh man, I think that we got it. Was a flak.
What a good shot.
It was AA guns or something, but it was he saw it because the gun was like laying over his shoulder pretty much. It was very tight quarters. There was no way to miss it. He heard it in his right ear. Okay.
Are there three man planes?
I don't know in Rise of Flight, but I have ridden in like a 6 or 7 man plane in IL-2 Sturmovik before, like a bomber, and it had a bunch of gunners on it and stuff. I would, and it looked like it came from World War I, so maybe. I'll get back to you on that.
All right,
Justin.
Yes, sir. I did get to finally spend some time. With Double Fine Happy Action Theater. I've been waiting for, you know, the proper setting for this game, and Tim Schafer has said that it was developed for young children and drunk people. So St. Patrick's Day happened, and I decided
children
to...
drunk.
Long story short, laws were broken. No. I finally downloaded Double Fine Happy Action Theater. I didn't really know what to expect from it other than I knew that it was a Kinect minigame collection, but also that, you know, Double Fine has played plenty of minigame collections, and I felt like they would at least help – the presentation of these games would be something much better. And it was, because basically you start the game up and it just – it picks a game and you play and there's no score. There's no nothing. You just go. People can jump in and out of the game as much as possible, and if you don't, and after a certain amount of time, it goes to the next game, and it just plays in a loop basically. And you, at any point, you could use a controller to skip a game. So this game was basically, from my understanding, developed around when they were working on the Sesame Street game, and their Kinect team just. They were encountering all these random errors and weird behavior out of the Kinect, and kind of taking note of when and why that would happen. And they kind of built mini games to kind of make use of that and make them fun. So that was basically the premise. What I walked away from, you know, I don't remember exactly how many games there were. If there's a dozen, three or four of them were pretty fun. Three or four of them we started to skip every time they came back around. And the rest, you know, it's kind of everybody loved it when they first saw it. For the first experience, anybody coming through this party wanted to play, but they never wanted to do a repeat of any of the games except for a couple of them. The big standout was the two big standouts are there is one game that will take photos of all the people and – so it'll snap a snapshot of you, and then you move around, and based on how far away you are from the camera, it'll move you in front of or behind yourself in the photo, and it just basically starts layering photos on top of photos, so you can position yourself in funny positions related to the previous photo. So that's pretty fun. And then, you know, they kind of had like a little Space Invaders type of game that. Based on you raising your arm and moving left to right would move your avatar, and that worked. People at least recognized the game and got into it. And then there's also just a weird game that does all these trippy effects and kind of distorts your character. And it's basically a dancing game, so it'll just like focus on different people and make them do funny little dance moves, and you can't help but kind of go along with it. And you know. It was good fun. I'm glad I finally got to experience it, but I don't know if I'm going to play it again.
How is the floor is lava?
We never understood the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it was cool looking. It was.
What about the?
Like
we are monsters.
Yeah, we liked that one too. That was like there were certain games that just got a rise out of people the first time they saw it, and that was like the sooner they could identify what they could do. The better, but some of them you just didn't know what you didn't know what you were supposed to do, and some of them really didn't have a point, so which is, I think, what they were going for. So it's hard to be mad about it, but it was, like I said, I'm glad I got to experience it, but I won't play it again, but I will bring it out for people that haven't seen it.
And kids.
And kids, yeah. The kids
and
will
drunk kids.
And the giant drunk kids.
I'm not endorsing that on this podcast.
I said it I didn't say that. I don't know, a couple months ago before it came out. I said I was looking forward to playing it like one time for 30 minutes while drunk. Mm-hmm. And I stand by that. I still want to check it out, but I don't. I know I will never play
it
again.
Well, now you know someone that owns it, so you don't have to spend the $10.
Awesome.
But I've always been a fan of that. You know, when the music game started coming out, when the Kinect came out, when the Wii came out, I like setting up an environment where people can experience this stuff. I get a big kick out of it. It's not, you know, I try to take a back seat to it all, but I like bringing people together around video games like this. And so it was effective for what I bought it for. So I feel like I got the value of it, but I just, you know, as far as being a blind purchase for everybody that owns a Kinect, I couldn't recommend that at all.
Wow. That's okay. Don't play this game. It's terrible. That's what Justice said. There's your review.
Just know what you're getting into.
Cole, you got another game?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Tiny Wings on my iOS device. Especially
just real games. It's my fault.
Oh, my bad. Hey, I haven't played any real games.
I'm with you, Cole. I like Tiny Wings.
Tiny Wings is a good game. It's basically you play, if nobody knows what it is, I hope everybody does because it's a good game, but you're this bird who is racing the sun during the day, so you try to get as far as you can throughout the day, and then when it's night, you go back to sleep. I've been so addicted to this game that I had every achievement. The only thing I'm working on is getting the high score that I possibly can. And on the leaderboards, it's 400,000. And I haven't hit 300,000 yet. So this is just a game that if I'm bored watching TV, listening to Josh talk about Rise of Flight, then I'll pick up and play for 10 minutes or so. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really addictive. It's really simple. And it's like I said, it's just really easy to pick up and play. That's about it. I don't really have a whole lot to play.
I actually, my girlfriend's daughter introduced me to this game because this was when she was borrowing her cousin's iPod or had it for the day or whatever. This was one of the games they had, and she loved it. And you know, at first I just kind of dismiss it. I thought it was just, you know, it wasn't real. I didn't think it was a game until I watched it, and I was like, oh, I kind of see what's going on here. So it's one of those. You know, it's not one of those infinite running games, but you are constantly trying to stay moving. But the way it kind of plays with inertia and flight and just trying to time when you're dipping on the ramps to gather speed. And, you know, there's a little bit of skill involved. And I haven't played it for a while, but when I did play it, I played it for about a solid month. So and that's, you know, that justifies a 99-cent purchase to me pretty quickly.
Yeah, I've been playing it since I got my new phone, so for about 2 months, and it's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things like, oh, you know, I have a few here, like at a doctor's appointment or something, doctor's office, you're just constantly looking for something to do, and you can only check Twitter and Facebook so often, so Tiny Wings is the third go-to for me.
Josh, can I throw out another non-game, just to get these out of the way?
Yeah, do it.
Actually, I have come full circle. Well, no, not full circle. I've done a 180 on Angry Birds. I was a huge supporter of them when they first started coming out. But, you know, through the fact that I believe the creators and owners of the game to be just complete dicks and full of themselves, I'm not a big supporter of the franchise, but I had to give Angry Birds Space a shot. And so that was a big release last week. And the only thing I want to say about it is, you know, that I didn't think they had creativity left, but it's got a pretty novel concept in the fact that any game, the first thing I want to do after playing Angry Bird Space is play Mario Galaxy. And I was like, you know, after stealing from Crush the Castle, you know, borrowing from Mario Galaxy is a nice step forward. So, it's as addictive, and it's a good complexity level leap over Angry Birds. So, fans of that.
How does it play? I haven't played it. Like, what is it? What is the same object, but what
right.
is the physics?
Kind so of? I had seen the YouTube trailer for it, and it, you know, they brought in a NASA scientist to explain basically inertia in space, and some of the stuff they showed was basically, you know, you fling the bird in space, there's no gravity, and you bump into things and basically throw them into other objects that have the pigs on them. So it's like just trying to basically bump these things around in space to destroy other things. But when you first start playing the game, you actually start off on a small little planet that has a gravitational pull to it that you can launch yourself out of or stay within. So some of the puzzles exist only on the planet. Some of them will be between multiple planets, and you start to learn the technique of basically slingshotting your bird around planets to change direction and gain momentum. And so it plays a lot with that. So the puzzles become a combination of using gravity and using inertia and trying to, you know, nudge things along till they get pulled into a gravitational field and crash land on a planet to destroy it. So there's a lot of possibilities there. So this game's not going away. So that's all I really wanted to say.
Angry Birds. There's going to be new toys, right?
No.
The new T-shirts.
You know, I don't fault them for that stuff. I just, you know, they just kind of shunned the gamer community, and I haven't looked back. So.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I like about that is they're just milking it for everything it's worth, which, you know.
Which is fine, but except,
yeah,
I'm not gonna go.
That could be a checkpoint.
Yeah.
Could have a checkpoint.
I will do
all
an
Angry Birds
checkpoint. Mark it down.
Yep.
Coop, please tell me you have a real game to talk about.
I do have a real game.
Yeah.
Clive Barker's Undying.
Oh yes.
Who's played it?
I love Undying.
Undying is fantastic.
I did. I loved it. I'll say that. I haven't played it in years, so I'm guessing you played it recently.
Me too. I found the disc the other day and remembered how much I loved it. And it took me a while to actually decide to play it because I wasn't sure if it was going to be one of those, you know, memories that I'm going to destroy by trying to relive it. But I got it installed. I had to find a secondary CD-ROM drive because the one in my computer wouldn't read the disc for some odd reason, but it actually holds up pretty good. It's not like Dead Space scary or anything, but it's kind of creepy. The sound design's pretty good when you consider how old it is. But yeah, I mean, so far...
When did that game come out?
I think it's 2001.
Oh, that new.
So yeah, it's old. It's been around. Yeah, that new.
Unreal Engine.
Yes, Unreal Engine. It was DreamWorks, I think, before they turned into EA Los Angeles, I believe.
You mean Clive Barker didn't make it?
Yeah, I mean,
he made it personally.
He made it himself.
Just it was actually just him and American McGee working on it.
Oh God!
Yeah. You know, like the graphics are 2001 game graphics, but it's not bad, really. It's a game
still,
from 2000.
How does the atmosphere hold up? No, okay, not good.
Oh, I was.
No, I mean it's still creepy. I think it's. It's ruined because
the lighting
when this came out.
Lack thereof.
Yeah, the lighting's kind of bad, but it's just it's creepy for when it was, but once you've played horror games of today, I mean, you're not, it doesn't give you that same effect. But actually, one of the things that cracked me up that I had remembered is one of the first weapon upgrades you get is this, it's some kind of cannon. I forget what it's actually called, but it kind of looks like a little dragon head and it shoots out ice. But as you're walking, the gun actually kind of makes this little growling noise. And it makes me jump every time. I don't know why. It makes you think that there's like a monster right behind you, especially if you're playing with headphones. But like, you're just walking around, it's all quiet, and then your gun makes a noise, and it makes you jump through the roof. And so the fact that still happened kind of made me smile a little bit, because it has some little cheap scares, I guess.
So I think the darkness would be laughing at you.
Yeah.
I remember the first like couple of hours of that game, the atmosphere being really cool. It was creepy and it felt like you were in a horror story, like the beginnings, of a horror story.
You start out in the mansion, of the Covenants, and you know it has you're walking down the hallway and it goes dark and. You know, one of the ghouls kind of flashes up in front of you for a second and slices at you and then disappears. So it's got some things like that to kind of set the mood, and it has a few jump scares with, you know, monsters jumping through windows or landing in front of you from the ceiling. So it definitely still has kind of that same mood. I even made it out of the mansion and was working my way towards the second area, and they have you go down kind of through this cave system where it had really dim lighting where you couldn't see very well, and it was really foggy in there. And it was actually still pretty cool. I mean, it was for the graphic style. It held up all right. I'm still pleased with it. I'll probably finish it. It's easy. I mean, you forget how easy old games were, but,
would you rather play this game again, or play Jericho?
Come on.
Sure.
Yeah, Jericho.
Funny one. You guys laugh. Fuck you.
not with.
But I would be interested. I mean, I'm sure we talked a little bit about it in our flight at all, but I wouldn't mind seeing an Undying reboot if it was done right. You know, up the engine, make it a little scarier, but I think it could be cool.
Or maybe.
Is it based on a property that he had, or is it just a new
IP? No, he made it up. I think it was just a story that he wrote and wanted to direct into a video game. But it wasn't, I read up a little bit on it to get a little background of what he was going for. And he didn't really want it to be like scary, scary horror. It was he wanted that kind of creepy, spine tingling feeling. I mean, he really wanted to set the atmosphere to be, you know, just super creepy rather than, you know, scare your pants off. So, and I, from that angle, I think it achieves that. I think that side of it is still there. And if you can get past, you know, the primitive graphics and the fact that there aren't very many. I mean, I've only ran into like maybe three different types of enemies right now. So there isn't a lot of variety in it, but it's a game from 2001. So you can't expect too much.
Yeah. I feel like that game with some like modern, you know, with a modern engine would have been just infinitely scarier. Because I think the premise was pretty cool, and you know, like the mansion itself was cool. The setup was neat. And I liked the characters and stuff, and but yeah, it just that's at the time it was good for, you know, what it was. But and it's not just like looking back at it now, it doesn't hold up because like we've seen things that look so much better since then, which is I mean partially true, but I think even. Just as its own thing, it would have been served better by coming out later. But
yeah, I think it's the realism aspect. You know, with some of the newer games, it's when the monsters look a little more real, I guess it's a little scarier. I mean, when it's kind of like watching the scary cartoon.
Yeah, you can suspend disbelief a little bit easier now, and
I guess where it's as it can with what everything looks like.
Sure, I like Clive Barker's stuff too. Like like Lord of Illusions. It was pretty cool, and his Books of Blood, his like short story collections are really awesome and really messed. Some of them are really messed up, but there's a reason that a lot of his stuff gets turned into movies. So. I mean, there's just really weird and atmospheric, and with the way you were saying, like he was going for this, he just wanted things to be like super, super creepy. Like, yeah, things, you're always uneasy, like when you're reading his stuff or watching his stuff or playing it, I guess. I didn't touch Jericho because everyone said it was terrible, but that's too bad because I think he does come up with some pretty cool stories, and to see him do something. I don't think there's enough horror games, period. So,
it was a game. I feel like it was the gameplay in Jericho that lost me. I mean, I only played the demo, but.
Yeah, the graphics and character design were there.
Yeah. I felt like the atmosphere was kind of there. The characters looked good. But I just remember some weird, button sequence stuff you had to do. I don't know. It's been a long time. I just remember not liking it.
But I was going to say this, around 2000, 2001, this is when, I started noticing that games could scare you. It's just like a little bit after Resident Evil, and sometimes I remember getting the demo for Undying and, knowing, it's a Clive Barker game, but it's a video game, what can it really creep me out? And that's why it stands out in my memories, because it's one of the first games outside of Resident Evil that actually did that.
Yeah, I don't know that I ever actually finished it because I didn't like horror games. I mean, I didn't like scary movies. They freaked me out when I was younger. And yeah, I don't think I ever made it out of the mansion just because I couldn't do it. But it's obviously.
You do realize we were over 18 when this game came out. You said when you were young.
Yeah. I'm an old man now.
That's funny.
You can handle scary things now that you're old man.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to get. I was like, yeah, it's only, 11 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're out of high school, buddy.
Hey.
I was scared too. It's fine.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, did that come out before or after System Shock?
Oh, shit. I might have played it before I played System Shock. System Shock 2, it's definitely before System Shock. I don't remember. I'm not going to claim to know that timeline. But I did not finish System Shock 2 for that reason. Terrified of that game.
I never beat it either.
Terrified.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I tried to revisit it with some graphical mods a couple years ago with two-player co-op and just failed miserably at getting it to work properly. So I didn't actually get to go through it. But I saw people doing it on YouTube and thought, oh, hey, they got it going. I just ended up giving up, but I'd like to try that again sometime. And if I just get into the groove of just playing a bunch of really old-ass games, then maybe I won't mind that they don't. That there's 40 polygons on the screen at a time.
We should make a podcast called The Groove of Playing Old Ass Games.
Well, it sounds like it's like a music station or something, or a show, music show.
Yeah, The Groove is in the heart.
Josh, what else have you been playing?
Oh, no. Oh, I started playing Minecraft again.
Well, let's talk about. I thought this was about real games.
Yeah, oh, shit. Man. Okay. I know
it has an ending now.
Yes,
it is a real game.
Yeah, there. A lot has changed since we last met. They keep adding new stuff. Here's the thing: I don't play that game. I don't just go, oh man, I feel like I'm gonna go, play with blocks in Minecraft. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that if I did.
I think my penis could be bigger.
However, I'm ignoring you. However. I have friends that want to play, And when I play that game with other people, it is really fun. We go on adventures together. We build things together. We're like, on one hand, we're like Indiana Jones.
I'm picturing you doing a lot of quotation marks.
Yeah.
Play with people. There's a lot of fun. Build things together.
Sorry. Go on adventures.
That's it. We do. We do. You explore. Like, you don't know what's going to be around the corner. Like, there are
it
things
that sound discover. Magical.
It is magical. We just updated our private server to the latest version. It was way behind, and no one could play on it. It had been months, so I updated it. Added all kinds of stuff. Just a million different little things that you wouldn't care about if you didn't play. But they got cats in the game now, and there's one that looks just like my cat.
Sold.
He's doing right now.
He's playing playing with
he's
his
playing
Minecraft
cat.
Cat
right now.
Mine yeah. cats.
They added a dragon. They got some magic stuff in the game now. Like, there's loot when you kill enemies. So, like, I killed a skeleton, got a magic bow. Like, hell yes! And
did you get the Triforce?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
Have you gotten to the dragon yet?
No, not yet. But working on that too.
When does the raid start?
Tonight, 11 o'clock. Would you like to join us? So, anyways, so we fired up the new world on our server, and if you want to see some of the new things, you have to basically create a whole new world, and which we've done a dozen times before, so no big deal.
So, a whole new world.
Is DJ Tanner there?
Is that okay? Yes. God damn. So we create this new world. This new.
Now you know how it feels to be derailed, Josh Lee.
Whatever. And we start out in the new jungle biome, which is randomly. And it's this literally the gigantic, super dense jungle full of tall trees with vines that you can climb on and stuff. It was.
Is Blue there?
Was who?
Blue. Blue.
I know what you're talking about.
I'm having a blast right now.
So, just trying to help Justin out right now.
Yeah, I know what he's doing. So anyway, we're playing it again. It's fun. We're building stuff. We're killing stuff. We're exploring. We're finding things. And the game is fun. And you guys would know this if you would try it with me. If you would come play with me and my friends, which apparently are better gaming best friends than you guys. Because they don't ridicule me for this.
Here comes the insults.
Yes.
We're not going to join them on the next show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go, Coop. Prepare yourself, Coop. Somebody's going to take the Ethan roll.
I have a Minecraft server. I'm just going to stay out of this.
I have nothing against Minecraft. It's actually, I poke fun out of... what's the word for
jealousy?
That I know I can't play. It's one of these. I need to come up with this list, but of my games that cause video game paralysis in me. Like, there's so many options in Minecraft. I don't know where to start, so I don't know how to play. Like, I literally would just sit there.
But you wouldn't.
How do I build this penis? And I never hit the first button.
You won't.
I made a Minecraft roller coaster.
Get sand. That's how you make a penis.
I will show you. I will build a penis with you. We can make penis together.
Oh, Jesus.
Join me.
Super gaming best friend.
Touch his iPad.
Hold on to the iPad.
Whatever. Minecraft is good. It's cool.
I'm waiting for the Xbox version.
So, yeah, tell me about what's the ending stuff. Like, what have they... So, I mean, Minecraft is done, technically, right? I know it's a fully released game, but what's this ending shit?
No, okay. No, they're constantly making new stuff still. That's not going to change.
Okay, sorry.
However...
Let me rephrase.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like that's the reason you went back. The reason you went back is you guys hadn't played in a while, and...
There was new
what
stuff.
What did you... Okay.
We started it back up because there was new stuff.
Okay.
They did create an end game, I guess, kind of thing. I guess you could call it that. It's not like there's a progression along the way where you get to this thing and you beat the game. There's no, it's not like that. But they added in a thing that can only happen once on your server. So I guess in that way, it's got a finality to it than an end of a game would normally have. But there is a secret fortress thing you can get to, and there's a dragon in there you can kill. I haven't seen that stuff yet, but
it's pretty hard.
You kill the creator of Fortress Craft.
we found the fortress, and there's like a big portal, and you have to collect. I forget exactly what you have to collect, but there's these crazy monsters out in the world that you have to kill them and get their eyes and.
The Enderman.
Know exactly what you combine.
Wait.
Yeah.
Do you play this game more than Josh?
I might.
Yeah, and he's been sitting there and letting you just rip on me for 10 minutes. Thanks, Coop.
We have a server at work, which is awesome. So we play at work when we're not busy, in case my boss is listening. but yeah, I mean, there's this portal, and you have to put these things around it, and it takes you to the dragon. But I mean, we found the portal, but we're so far away from collecting enough stuff to opening it that we kind of lost interest before it all happened.
Got to go in that nether, get those blaze rods.
Yeah, that was one cool thing I liked about the update. I mean, in the previous version, there wasn't really much to do in the nether, and you couldn't even get there in multiplayer. But there's some pretty, I mean, some cool monsters in there.
Is the nether like the nothing?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's hell, basically. It's just all lava and thing. Yeah. It's
lava, fire, and monsters trying to kill you.
It's
fire
and brimstone. It's nothing like the nothing.
No. Nothing like it. And one last bit of very important news, Minecraft related. The team behind the bucket mod scene thing. It's like these guys make a version of the server Java file, basically, that allows people, that has a mod API, so allows people to make mods for multiplayer servers. So we've been using their stuff for a long time to do things like let us actually fly an airship, stuff like that. And the guys that worked on Bucket just got hired by Mojang to make the official Minecraft mod API, which will be great because that means hopefully then it'll be updated on a more regular basis and have better documentation, which also means that official support, you're going to have more mods available. And that sounds pretty cool to me. So
that's cool, and it's the reason, like, I can kid about Minecraft is I really respect Notch and his company, and I think they're doing great things for the industry, and hiring those guys is another cool move.
Yep. Cool stuff. Well, we have covered the gamut, guys. Everything from NES to flight sims to old ass PC games, iOS games, Kinect games. Holy cow. I don't think we can talk about any more games. Like, that's it. That's all games.
We did it, guys.
Yeah, we won.
We did it.
We beat the podcast. That was a DDP style. Self high five.
Self high five.
Bang!
So that'll do it for What Are You Playing? I think it's time for some HorribleNight.com website updates, and who better to update us on those things than Justin Lacey, the editor-in-chief of said website. Justin, go!
I was going to say, if there is someone better, I could use some help. But we started updating our YouTube page a couple weeks ago, had the Louisville Arcade Expo video up there, and then last week, Copper Skull posted the first of his highlight videos from his live gaming session. So we've been having a lot of kind of random live gaming sessions on Twitch.tv/HorribleNight over the last few months. And so we're starting to pull together highlight reels from our best sessions. And you can expect to see more of those videos as part of the content, and in addition to some of more our more original material, and we've got some video series ideas that'll be heading their way. So lots of reasons to subscribe and promote our YouTube channel if you want to help support the site. So be on the lookout for those. I'm thinking one a week, one every other week, kind of in that realm. You're going to get a few videos a month until we really get rolling. But really excited about the video work coming your way this year. And then put a news article on the site on Tuesday, kind of letting everybody know about the Art of Video Games exhibit at the Smithsonian. Just opened last week, and it's running through September. And last year, we kind of stumbled across a lot of their preparation for the exhibit, and we did a three-part podcast series where The Horrible Show, actually, we analyzed all the picks basically for the games that make it into the exhibit, and then we interviewed the curator, Chris Melesinos, and so we kind of published a news article and talked about the launch, the opening of the exhibit, and then kind of opened up that archive to new listeners. But they are some of our we feel some of our better episodes of The Horrible Show, and if you want more information on that exhibit, we talked about it a lot. So there's that. And if you're in the Washington, D.C. area or plan a trip, like I said, it's going to be open through the end of September. And it is a very cool exhibit. And I think it's promoting a part of our industry and our gaming culture that we really support. So that would be it for HorribleNight.com from me.
That's cool stuff. Thanks, Justin.
You're welcome, Dick.
Speaking of dicks, it's time for Threesomes of the Week, where we talk about our three piece off-topic items, usually non-gaming related. Sometimes we sneak something in there. I do suggest that you hang around for this, because guess what? You do things other than play games too. So listening to Threesomes means maybe you'll discover a new book or a great new brand of shoes. To give us a few examples of those things, here's Cole Monroe with his Threesomes.
I have no books or shoes on my list. I'll start out with Supernatural. I guess Ethan, Justin, Josh, you too, right?
Yeah, we're Supernatural best friends.
Yeah, you guys are all assholes and talk this game up so or game talk this show up so much that I started watching it on Saturday, and I'm now on episode 12, or no, just finished episode 12 today of the first season. So yeah, I really, really, really enjoy the show. I love all the inside jokes and references that they have towards other pop culture things like Metallica and X-Files. I just tweeted earlier that I love the cigarette smoking man's appearance in the episode I just watched. He was a college professor, so I thought that was pretty cool. But you guys talk about the later seasons being really good, but I'm really enjoying the first season, and I can't wait to get to the later episodes.
I would argue actually the earlier seasons are the best seasons, but the show is much stronger than people were like cautioning me about. So I'd say keep your expectations high, buddy.
Yeah, at first, you know, I'm just like, okay, so we're going through all the urban legends. When are we going to get to the demon shit that you guys have talked about? And it just started, so looking forward to it.
The demon shit is on.
But any show that goes 8 or 9 seasons or whatever it's at now, it's going to go in different directions. It's gonna, and that's a show that has had several large story arcs. Like kind of each season has like you get the monster of the week kind of thing going on, but then there's that other, you know, overarching thing that goes on in the background, and some of those to me get a little like meh, you know, in some of the later seasons. But I never really get tired of just the exchanges between the brothers. You know, I think so. The writing's pretty good, and the humor is always present, and that's the stuff I like.
That show just, it has no business being as good as it is. That's the only thing. Like, it should be much cheesier. I mean, it is a little cheesy,
yeah,
but it should be cheesier than it is, and it kind of shouldn't work, and I don't understand why, like, who the audience is that is keeping this show on the air for 7 seasons, but I love it. So
I think they have, with that show, more than most, have figured out that balance between keeping the female and the male audience entertained.
Yeah. Yeah,
they do that extremely well, because there's a lot of shows like that that Kylie will watch that I don't necessarily. I'm like, I just can't get into this. I just don't care. This is like, this is a show made for you. And but then like with Supernatural, I get a lot out of it. I don't know. Just I've stayed with it. I still need to catch up with the end of the previous season so I can get up to date on the new one that's on now. Good stuff.
All right, so the next thing I watched was a documentary called Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade. Basically, it was about all the cool guys that got the high scores in arcades in like the early 80s. So you had your Billy Mitchell, and basically the documentary was about him and what's his name, Walter Day, the referee of the Twin Galaxies high score. He's the high score keeper or whatever. And it kind of just recapped all the different guys who were, you know, part of that scene and part of that club. And they tried to take it on tour and it failed miserably. So they were trying to be the first kind of professional gaming group. And it just kind of interviewed them and what game they were good at and just stuff like that. It's pretty interesting. Look back at early arcades. I recommend it. And if you love Billy Mitchell like everybody else does, you get a lot more of him. So
now I haven't watched this one, but I did have a conversation about it with a coworker who advised me not to watch it, as he, you know, he was a fan of like the King of Kong documentary, but said this one, it felt like the documentarians.
Documentarians. That's the term.
Now I don't know if you're.
No, it is.
Okay.
That's fake.
Yeah.
Documenters.
That would also work.
Directors.
Yeah, the guys that are making the movie, they were way too invasive, like uncomfortably so so he stopped watching it for that reason. And
really,
I was just curious if you got that vibe at all.
I didn't get that vibe. I felt uncomfortable because these guys were really, really socially awkward, even to this day, like on camera. Especially like they had video going back in the 80s. And so obviously they were pretty socially awkward then, but it's just kind of sad to see their current state and they haven't changed a whole lot.
Gotcha.
But they do go into like their private lives. If that's what he's talking about being invasive and like, you know, you kind of learn more things about certain gamers that you never really wanted to know. not necessarily Billy Mitchell, but just some of the other guys, and they're kind of, it's kind of weird.
Oh, like the guy with
the still interesting
collection.
Yeah, the Spider Collection guy. And also the guy who helps Walter Day, who still lives with the parents and takes care of cats.
Oh, man.
And then the guy who owns a strip club.
Oh, yeah. That guy, that was the only genuinely creepy guy.
The spider guy was more sad than creepy, but the strip club guy was super creepy.
Watching him play that what was the flying game, the Atari flying game with the barn, it's like Barnyard.
That was Spider Guy though.
I know that's what I'm saying, that whole scene,
Barnyard, like,
where he's still doing it, you know. I don't know, this is,
he's like putting tape on the screen to measure,
to
like,
mark the spots, you know, it was kind of cool. But this is like one of my favorite documentaries. I love
it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I've seen it like 5 times.
All right.
It's on Netflix, so you can watch it whenever.
It's – and I understand like Justin, what your coworker was saying maybe. It gets really deep into these guys' lives. That's what the guys that make documentaries, they do that, you know.
The documentarians
they got to find that drama and whatever. So they're going to show some aspects of people's lives that are going to be, you know, the worst of the worst or whatever. But it's not just totally negative either. There's like this really cool story about these two guys that were kind of like Mentorians and the Mentorii. And anyways, these two guys that were and became kind of rivals, and they haven't talked to each other over the years, and they get reunited, and they fix up an old arcade machine together and stuff. And it was like, there's some like really nice stuff in there too. And it's amazing.
I thought that part was kind of creepy. Like old, it was like an old guy and a younger guy, and he was like I don't know what their relationship was. It wasn't
that weird. The one guy was probably like 28, and the other was like 13. I don't see the problem with that. it's like it was basketball camp. Oh, sorry, it's just too soon. Okay, so, but yeah, I just want to say that this was, I was really impressed by the amount of material that they had from the time from back in the 80s when
you know, when they had a lot of video.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that, and these guys got a hold of all of it too. That was pretty cool. It's great. Everyone should watch it. Chasing Ghosts. Good job, Cole.
Thank you.
You might have just won threesomes.
Okay. All right. Then my last threesome is you probably heard the song "Somebody That I Used to Know" by Gautier. It's pretty popular on radio stations these days. And I've been enjoying that whole album. But there was a cover version on YouTube that like 77 million people have watched last I checked. And it's this cover band called Walk Off the Earth. And they're playing the song. There's five people on one guitar. And it's really good. Like they really do a good job. And I started looking at some of their other stuff, and they do a lot of covers. But some of their original songs are really good. So I recommend taking a listen of Walk Off the Earth. It's a Canadian band, and there's an epic beard guy in the band, so he's pretty cool. Also, the theme song, if you guys watched Weeds, the theme song Little Boxes, they do an awesome version of it and have a little video of everything's in cardboard boxes, so it's pretty cool. Check it out. Walk Off the Earth.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have any background on that one.
Yep, I got nothing. Yeah. Coop, threesomes. Cut off. You've been cut off, Justin.
Yeah, you're fine. It wasn't important.
You're the Ethan roll.
You've been Gutenberged.
You've been Moses-ized.
Moving on, Coop.
My turn. Let's see. I got hooked on Breaking Bad here not too long ago. It was one of those shows I'd always seen in Netflix, but I didn't have any idea what it was about. And never watched it. And then one day my wife caught an episode of it and was like, "You totally need to watch this show. It's insane." And I watched the first episode and I was like, "Oh my God, this show is insane." And just kind of got hooked on it and ended up blowing through all the seasons really quick. And it's just one of those shows that every episode just keeps getting more and more messed up. And you don't think that they could even go any further, and it just keeps going. And yeah, it's pretty fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out.
How far are you into it?
I'm caught up. I've seen.
Oh shit.
Yeah, because we had started watching it pretty much right when the current season was airing, so I got them all recorded and then caught up and then watched this past season. So it's nuts. I mean, it's pretty fantastic. As far as, you know, a show being all about meth.
That's my kind of show.
Yeah, seriously. The crazy thing about it, it's like, you know, as I'm watching this, I'm like, "Hey, I was awesome at chemistry. I bet I can make meth." Which, you know, I'm sure is what they really want out of that show. Coop. But not that I'm going
to. Gone to a dark place.
Yeah. I'll be your Jesse.
Nice. So do you watch it, Cole?
I watched the first season and the first episode of the second season. I was trying to get my wife to watch it, and our schedules just haven't synced up. So we're trying to start over by watching it all the way through. But yeah, first season is fucking nuts, and it I is. Know it just gets crazier from there. Yeah. So
I'm really curious. I've heard that there's one more season, and then they're supposed to wrap it up. The last season, you could tell by the writing that they weren't quite sure if it was going to go another season, because they could have ended it how that. It ended now. Yeah, so I'm almost kind of scared for the next season, because I'm like, well, they kind of wrapped up a whole lot of stuff. What's left for one more season? So hopefully they don't screw it up, but I'm getting kind of anxious already for the next ending to see where they take it.
I saw somebody tweet an awesome thing. They're saying, what if at the end of Breaking Bad, what's his name?
Cranston? Brian Cranston?
Yeah, what's his character's name? Can't think what it is.
Steve?
Oh, shoot. I'm
Meth Man?
Wilson?
No.
Brian Cranston. They said, what if at the end of Breaking Bad, Brian Cranston became the dad on Malcolm in the Middle? That was the the season finale of Breaking Bad.
that made me laugh
really hard.
I don't know. I've been watching... I wrote a piece on the Max Payne 3 trailer, and I'm thinking he reminds me of old Max Payne, and that's the new – he should be the new Max Payne and kill Mark Wahlberg.
Does he dual-wield Mac-10s a lot in the show?
Yeah, I think so. Various SMGs.
How often does it go into bullet time?
Bullet time.
Every episode.
Yeah.
Oh, his name's Walter.
Walter, that's what it is.
Didn't I say that? I think I said Walter.
Did you say Walter?
Walter White. Maybe not.
But yeah. If you haven't seen it, you should see it, because it's messed up and awesome.
Like the first three seasons are on Netflix, I believe, three or four. So
yeah, the first three are on Netflix, and the fourth season,
Amazon.
Wrapped up last summer, I think, last fall. So it'll probably even pop up on Netflix here. Well, probably not till after the next season comes on, but yeah, it's worth checking out for sure. Let's see, what else? Iowa.
Yeah.
It's a state. Yeah.
Great state. Great.
It's a fantastic state.
Love it.
State.
Never been there myself, but heard great things.
No, I'm referring to the Slipknot Iowa. It's kind of my go-to album when I want to break things at work. So I got
not Limp Bizkit. You go to Slipknot.
I said things, not stuff.
When you say, give me something to break, give me some Slipknot.
So yeah, work has been crazy the past couple weeks, and I hadn't listened to it in a while, so I was like, oh, I need to listen to Iowa, because it's a nice calm you down album.
No, it's a nice justify my actions album.
Yeah, it's probably the most brutal album that I own. It just starts off and never lets up. I mean, can you even think of anything that's...
I can't think of anything that's heavier than that.
Yeah, it's heavier. It's heavy.
And then you were talking about it. Got me listening to it today. And so I was... And then I started to think about how old the album is. And I'm like, you know what is funny... Is, you know, I'm listening to this as like an older album for myself and something I like to kind of dissect Slipknot and try to, you know, hear all the different instruments in the noise and everything. And, but you would think when this album came out that the world was about to end. And you know what? I was listening to it on a very nice, sunny spring day today. And I was like, things turned out all right.
Nice.
They made like three more albums, but it was just like that's the image that went through my head. I was like, the world didn't end, and by listening to this album, you thought it might have.
Yeah, it actually holds up pretty well too. I mean, it doesn't really sound old when you listen to it. It just has that old Slipknot sound, which is gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have aged.
Yeah.
I talk a lot about those heavy groups and how whether or not they can age gracefully, and you know, Slipknot. There was one time for them. So
yeah, I mean, they pretty much gave everything they had in that album, and I think it kind of
they could have stopped after that one.
Yeah, That was it. They peaked. Let's see. So number three, Bored to Death. It's a game. I not only play games, but I make games.
What?
Yeah.
Revelations.
Yes. So if you don't know what it is, my day job, I work for an advertising agency, and we have Microsoft as a client.
Are you Don Draper?
No, far from that.
He's the Cooper in Sterling Cooper Price.
But anyway, Bored to Death. Microsoft came to us, and you know they're all about HTML5 now. So they're like, "Hey, let's do a cool game that focuses on features that IE9 excels at, which one happens to be, you know, the new canvas element, which is what everybody's using for game development. Internet Explorer actually renders it quicker than all the other browsers. So we're like, sure, let's build a game. But we had an extremely short timeline. So it was all about, you know, making it as cool as it could be in as short a period of time as we had. And it was basically 1 week of game design and 2 weeks of development. And then like the last week was just testing and fixing bugs and everything. But we met up with the guy, I'm losing his name right now, the guy who made the Marshmallow People viral video. I don't know if anybody's seen that. I hadn't before this game, but it's pretty ridiculous. Just these two marshmallows that are extremely bored and stab people and set things on fire. And we just thought that they were perfect characters for a brawler. So that's what Bored to Death is. We took these little marshmallows and you are fighting boredom, running around punching salamanders on segways and cats and bears. And it's just, you know, the more you punch things, the less bored you are. And, you know, as the game progresses, it gets harder and harder. But it turned out pretty well for as fast as we cranked it out.
Yeah, that was cool little beat 'em up, you know, Golden Axe Final Fight style brawler. It was cool. I was getting the Golden Axe vibe. It probably had to do with the glistening chests and the broadswords and Valkyries. Yeah, none of those things are in the game.
Well, so what level did you play?
a lot further than I did.
Yeah, level 2. I guess you didn't get that far.
Yeah, we did a lot of – I mean, when we were designing it, we played, Simpsons Arcade. We played Castle Crashers, Double Dragon, just all the old classic and modern – beat 'em up type games to, you know, pick and choose what aspects we liked of each, and I was pretty happy with how it turned out. We're currently in the discussions of some expansions for it, which I can't really talk too much about, but hopefully here in the future,
Coop,
you'll see you'll see an expanded version.
When can we expect this on Xbox Live?
I don't know.
You said Microsoft's a client. Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We should
fast track
Microsoft's
that thing.
Microsoft's weird though. Like we're the agency on record for Internet Explorer, but you know, every division in Microsoft is like their own little company.
Yeah, so, but somebody knows somebody.
Yeah. We've even had
knows Major Nelson.
We've had campaigns where we got shot down by Bing as a partner. So it's like they couldn't partner with themselves. if that gives you any idea. I mean, that's just how those big companies are. I mean, you know, it's all these divisions of Microsoft, but they're really just a whole bunch of separate companies. God. That
so they're like terrorist cells.
They are.
Jeez.
But yeah, I would love to take it to Xbox Live. It'd be
not allowed.
You guys are saving it for the new Xbox. That's why you can't talk about it.
Not allowed to give us the scoop on the upcoming game, but he can call them terrorists.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna lose my job tomorrow.
It's okay. Only like 6 people listen to the threesomes.
Yeah.
Hey, we're still SGBFFs, no matter what.
Yeah,
we are.
Good threesomes, Coop.
You're in a
close second place right now.
Nice.
And Cole. Justin, let's see what you got. Bring it.
Did that math make sense? Actually, I almost went to Breaking Bad for my next Netflix selection, but I have to give props to my gal Megan for she's been trying to get us into Mad Men, and I don't know why. Nice. I was trying to figure out, like, we've coming off of the big Supernatural binge, like 6 seasons and 8 weeks or whatever it was, and just trying to figure out what is the next transition show. Like, and we just finished the Walking Dead season, wrapped up, trying to pick our next show. And I didn't want to get into Breaking Bad because I've heard that it's not that it's depressing. It's that it's just kind of negative. And I was like, so I need something to get me there. And I was looking elsewhere, and she finally put on an episode of Mad Men, and we got hooked immediately. So we're only like 6 or 7 episodes in the first season, but I really like it. And you know, I don't feel like I'm the target audience for it, although working it and, you know, ad agencies and marketing agencies my entire adult life, it's pretty interesting to see that sort of corporate structure to it and the how that all that stuff works. But I keep trying to pitch this game to my parents, as far as I'm just really curious, sure, like how authentic. What?
You said you keep interchanging game. Shows and movies and games. It's all a blur with you right now. The Mad Men game. You're trying to sell the Mad Men game to your parents. Yeah. Maybe you are. Hey, maybe you know something I don't. I mean, I don't go to the AMC's website. They got a browser game. I don't know.
They do, actually. Yeah, they do.
Okay. Well, I apologize then. Please continue talking about how you're pitching this to your parents. Go ahead.
Because I can, yeah. Like, I have the authority to actually sell it anyway. Anyway, I what's piqued my interest about the show the most, yeah, I said the show, and is just it's adherence to the time period. So that's obvious.
And Don Draper's one suave motherfucker.
Yeah, the women are pretty attractive on the show as well, so that helps.
I'm having a hard time getting into that show.
It's very slow. It's very slow.
I'm sure, you know, everybody talks up Don Draper, and I really like John Hamm because I've got, you know, the comedic side to him first.
Yeah. SNL?
Yeah. So
John Hamm's John Hamm?
So I'm not really too worried about liking or disliking Don Draper, but I mean, he hasn't hooked me yet. He's not the reason I'm watching it yet, but it's kind of just everything else. And but it hooked me quicker than I thought it would.
So. You will fall in love with those characters.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even the ones that right now, well, besides one. Yeah, yeah. But I always hated January Jones, Betty. Can't stand her. Never did.
Oh, that's who she is. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But everyone else, like I really got into the ones I didn't like at first. I really got into them, especially like right now. There's just so much payoff.
Right.
So many.
Right now, I just hate. I hate Pete, the young guy.
Yeah, Pete's terrible. But you like him. Like,
yeah.
No, I don't like him at all. He reminds me of people I've worked with. So
but that character grows and evolves in such a natural way, though, over the course of the show. That
so does,
and he's
so
married does and he's too. Married to
yeah Peggy does too.
Married to the chick from Community.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, they all go ahead.
No, I was just saying she acts her pants off. I like she's she's good. She acts my pants off.
She's I think she's really
the other and like I don't know where the show goes from here, but the other interesting thing is I've come off a lot of shows that have been really negative or really violent, like where, you know, I mean, Walking Dead, Supernatural, and Sons of Anarchy was my last big, where every episode is about who's going to die next. And while I'm sure characters will come and go from the series, just not having that threat every episode, just it's a much more casual and enjoyable viewing experience for me. I'm not like, I'm sure that stuff will creep in as the series goes on, but I'm enjoying myself right now, just relaxing and watching a show.
That's nice. That's just nice. What, do you have any other pleasant items?
Pleasant items? Yeah, White Zombie. No, I did a bunch of yard work this weekend unexpectedly. I thought our little project.
That's
I thought
not pleasant at all.
I thought it was going to be like a one afternoon type of thing, and it turned into a full weekend. Type of thing.
Did you call your lawnmower Dragula?
But I think I've actually talked about that before. So I was really beefing up my yard work soundtrack. I always mow the grass to White Zombie's Astro Creep 2000. And so I added some Megadeth into the mix this weekend.
Symphony of Destruction.
Yes, yes. That's the album of choice.
Do you know that's the first time I ever heard of the Pied Piper was from Symphony of Destruction. Yeah, sorry. Quick aside, this weekend I'm hanging out with my family and somebody said something. I just kind of jumped in the middle of this. Somebody said was talking about playing the flute and then they go, oh, yeah, like the Pied Piper. And I go, what? Pied Piper didn't play a flute? He played the bagpipes. He's a piper. He plays pipes, bagpipes, right? Like, no. What? Don't you know? And then they were going into like the history of it. And I was like, I don't know. The only time I've ever even heard anybody say Pied Piper was that Megadeth song. Man. Yeah, I was looking real dumb.
What about Roddy Piper?
Yeah. Yeah, see? He's a piper and he plays the freaking bagpipes, not a flute. Whatever. Anyways, but he never led rats.
He wouldn't be as cool if he played a flute.
No. Okay, please continue.
And then eventually I moved from headphones to turning my sound system so the speakers faced outside. And so I changed up and went to Foo Fighters. But that trio of albums got me through the weekend. So the new Foo Fighters album. So that's I get yard work done to rock, for the record.
It was why Zombies like done, right? It's just Rob now. There's no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think he did an album 2 years ago, but he's never really retired from the music side, even though he's doing more movie stuff. But yeah, White Zombie didn't really last too long. In retrospect, so I've been looking around YouTube, just trying to watch what other sites and what other video series are out there outside of the mainstream stuff that I had seen from, the major video game sites out there. And I stumbled across the Retro Rumble site, and these guys have a pretty cool setup for basically doing season-long shows of one-on-one tournaments for classic arcade games. And they have like this game board that, it has 10 games hidden on it. You don't know what it's going to pick. So every round starts off with it selects the game. And the last one I watched, they're playing the game Anteater, and they've got a pretty cool setup of, the guy playing the game and then the 8 to 10 other guys that are in the tournament kind of commentating in the background. And it was just a really cool format to see to do game challenges, which is stuff we've talked about on the site. So I was pretty impressed, and they've also done some live streams, and it's pretty entertaining. And I got to see a lot of arcade games that, those aren't the ones that popped in my mind, but they were, they were really interesting to see guys that are both awesome and terrible at those games. So
I caught one episode of that once, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I kind of forgot about it, so thanks for reminding me. I have to go back and check out some more.
They just they executed it surprisingly well for, I'm looking for stuff that, people that have low budgets and are able to put on actual professional-looking shows. So, pretty cool.
Neato. Oh, I guess it's
time to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Not! It's
time.
Pshaw!
Psych!
Neato.
This was just a trial run. We're going to do it all over again.
Yeah.
No, but you are going to listen to my threesomes. And I'll know if you're playing Tiny Wings.
Playing it right now.
Oh, yeah. Guess I won't.
I'm downloading Rise of Flight.
I'm playing that right now, too.
That's acceptable.
I'm tracking my IR. Without IR.
No IR. Free track, no IR. I got a new TV.
Yay. It's
big news, guys. For my office. And I'm actually using it as my main monitor right now. I lost the iFinity setup. Very, very sad. But those two of those monitors were loaners, which I'd mentioned, but had to take those back in. And I needed a TV, and I was like, I'm gonna swap out this monitor anyways. I've got this Samsung 32-inch. It's part of their new – it's like their lower end of the newest 2012 models. Mm-hmm. So it's LED, but it's only like the 60 hertz, you know, whatever. That stuff doesn't – I always turn off all that post-processing crap. And you know, I don't like soap opera effect, and I don't like notice judder and all this other shit. So I'd rather just have a especially from gaming and stuff, that's just going to introduce lag. So this thing is gorgeous. It is awesome. I've gamed on it. I'm using it as a primary monitor, and it is fantastic. Once I had to mess with it a little bit, you have to set your – you plug – if you're hooking up to a PC, there's a port for that. It's labeled PC. But then you have to go into your – edit the name of that connection in the menu and call it PC. And then all of a sudden, boop, all the text and everything looks really good. So it doesn't over sharpen and all that kind of stuff. But that's something you have to do on most TVs when you hook up a computer. But it's great. I love it. And I'm back on board the 32-inch TV as a monitor train. I still think iFinity is fantastic. So maybe I need three of these things. I'm thinking about like, what can I sell to afford two more of these TVs?
Kylie.
Oh shit! Can you put?
She doesn't listen, does she?
Can you put? Yeah, she listens every week.
Hi, Kylie. Sorry about that.
Can you put people on eBay? I don't know.
They got rid of it on Craigslist.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
But you can only get roses for those. So
it's good stuff. Anybody else use a TV as a monitor before?
At work I did for a while, but it was just a temporary solution. It's nice to know that there are solutions for some of the sharpness issues, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was excited for you when I saw I don't know what to call that, but it's a very kind of bro moment when you get excited for your buddy who bought some new tech. But it's like,
that's just something that naturally happens when you're super gaming best friends. I'm going to plug the name of the show like 40 times in the show. So you know what you're listening to.
What am I? I've been sitting here for like 2 hours. What am I listening to?
Super gaming best friends. Film Riot. There's a show on Revision 3, the internet TV network. I've been watching it over XBMC, which I'm always plugging. It's fantastic. On my home theater PC, I've got it loaded up and like to browse the videos there. And they've got a plug-in for all the Revision 3 stuff. But Film Riot's I think it's a weekly show where now I don't even remember their guys' names. It's awful, isn't it? Some dudes who know some stuff about film and photography. Talk about they do a lot of like DIY stuff, a lot of how to's, and somebody, and Cole can relate to this, as somebody who's kind of just starting to really get into some photography and some film stuff and some editing, I've finding their shows very valuable. Tons of just fantastic tips and stuff I didn't even know existed, like, and not a lot of really like expensive things. Like I said, a lot of the DIY stuff, like how to build a stand to put a light on. I got these work lights, these cheapy work lights from the hardware store to help light our live shows and recordings and stuff. And mounting them onto something is always a challenge. Like, what do we have that's tall enough to mount this thing on? It clamps onto anything, but nothing's that high. So, here's how to make with like $5 worth of PVC. Here's how to make a stand for your light. So, like an adjustable one too. Cool things like that. So, if you're into that, you should check it out. Cole, you definitely should be.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's very neat.
Film Riot. It's called Film Riot.
Film Riot. Yep.
Film Riot.
Yeah, good.
Do you have a threesome for me?
I do.
It's nice for you to give one to Cole.
Yeah, I got one for you. Yeah. I can show you how to eat three tampons. I don't know.
Actually, where did that come from?
I do know how I found this guy. There's this guy. he's got a, I don't know, something, I think Shoes is his last name or something. He is possibly challenged in some way. I'm not sure how. He doesn't come out and say that. So, you know, it's like, well, all right, I guess he's of sound mind. And so he's making these choices. There's this dude on YouTube I found by clicking, you know, the related videos links. And I started watching some video game footage. I ended up going to some like backyard hijinks, people getting burned and broken legs and stuff. some fights on a college campus. And then all of a sudden I was watching a guy eat tampons. And a whole bunch of other stuff. So this guy has his YouTube channel. He's got like 300 videos of himself eating weird objects. I would like to, and he's been doing this for a while. So obviously he's either got a, you know, hole in his stomach where just stuff falls out and he's a robot, or he goes and throws it up or something after he stops filming. But I've seen this guy now eat, let's see, a bar of soap, a roll of toilet paper, a bottle of body wash and a bottle of hairspray at the same time. Let's see, what else?
Does he eat the bottle or just the content?
Deodorant? No, although I'm sure he would. He's eaten so many, and he's, I just want me to sock. This guy, this isn't like magic. He's right there in front of his webcam, and he's just eating stuff. Sometimes he eats food, and it'll be like, oh, here's a something, you know, like an impressive thing. Like he'll eat something really quickly, or just like a lot of it. But most of the time, I mean, I don't want to see that stuff. I want to see him like eat something that's not food.
It needs to be like, have you seen the dude's blog? It's called like Steve Don't Eat It or something like that.
No. No, why?
It's this guy who basically looks for – they're all food products, but they're like really strange and weird, like a lot of weird Japanese canned fermented beans and – like it's just all kinds of stuff that looks really disgusting, and he eats it. I just found his website. But he has on here, he tried breast milk, and he's like, oh, we got to make this more interesting. So then he made chocolate breast milk, and he moves on to these, like, I don't know, just stuff that would probably make you vomit. But yeah, it's all supposedly edible food, but he tries it. Hmm. And then regrets it, and you can read about his whole experience.
That sounds funny.
At thesneeze.com/Steve Don't Eat It.
Is he a friend? Why are you plugging his stuff? Or is he a friend? I don't know.
it's just badass. You should
check. Trying to encourage some rivalry for your guy.
I actually remember seeing the site like a long time ago, and it doesn't look like he's added a bunch to it. So we need to get Steve to eat some more stuff.
Wouldn't you rather watch somebody drink an entire bottle of bubble bath or two Trojan condoms or a tube of painter's caulk? Oh my God. Yeah. So anyways, check it out. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Or don't.
No, you have to see it.
Oh, okay.
Like this is a human being and he's jamming this stuff into his mouth and he swallows
human,
it.
Human billy goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
God.
Oh, goat.
So yeah, there's my threesomes.
Did you win? Either won or lost.
I'm not sure. I don't think that could possibly win. So yeah, that'll do it, guys. Thanks for joining me, Coop. Welcome to the show. Thanks. I'm sure we'll have you back on.
Thanks.
If you want to come back,
I'll come back for more.
Yes.
Yes. That was very Marv Albert of you.
Sweet. I've got friends.
I appreciate you, Poppy. Appreciate
me. Stop there,
friend, Cherry.
Oh, I just wanted to stop, and I appreciate you. Everyone likes to hear that.
You can cut it right there in post.
I'll edit that. Yeah,
it's like I appreciate you. Cut.
Yeah. Thanks, Cole, for coming on again, and
thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks, Justin.
I think we're gonna let you do one more episode at least.
Something.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out, waiting for an excuse to fire you from hosting. But.
I'll take the show down with me, you son of a bitch.
And all six listeners.
I'll say the C word.
Hey, we're huge in India.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
That's fantastic.
Oh man. So everybody that's still listening, thank you for sticking with us this whole time. I hope it was entertaining. And just so you know, even though we can't see each other, you're my super gaming best friend too. Thanks for cut. See you.
Hold on.
Super.